This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make them an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell a truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. Happy Tuesday, October 8th, everybody. Good morning. Welcome in. Thank you, ladies. Calm it down.
Chicks are digging it. Chicks are into the show today.
Yep. Our wives are watching.
You're damn right they are.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. You can connect with the program at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. You can tune in at 1080 The Fan AM. Old AM radio.
Still
99.5 HD2.
Going strong. Still standing.
The Odyssey app. Well, strong, yeah.
It's still standing.
Still standing. The Odyssey app or youtube.com/1080TheFan. A hodgepodge of stuff in hour number one. We ended it with the Oregon-Ohio State. We keep doing little peekaboos of this game, even though it's on Saturday and today is a Tuesday. I kind of feel by Friday we have exhausted everything and there's really only going to be so much to get to by Friday, as much as we may want to holster things. I don't want to holster things.
There's only so many ways you can talk about this game.
Well, Friday you'll have Schultze sitting here, so you should
get Schultze's takes. He'll come in and scream at us about how Dan Lanning should be fired if he doesn't win this game. It is funny because with our new YouTube audience, we do these things in which you should go subscribe to the YouTube page because you get access to all this unbelievable free content. You just got to subscribe to it. And we clipped certain segments, and yesterday our Oregon State Ohio State peekaboo segment was clipped. And boy, oh boy, are they excited for this game in Ohio, because a lot of people watch that video.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are not from the state of Oregon. And I think my favorite comment was from a random Ohio State fan who jumped in, and none of them know the show or listen to the show.
Sure.
They just saw the video.
They won't either.
It was in their algorithm, and they're never going to listen. But one guy said, I think these guys, I don't know why I'm going Southern accent, but I'm going to keep going with it anyways, was basically like, these guys get their information from the internet. Especially the one with the receding hairline. That one made me chuckle.
What information was he talking about?
I don't know.
About?
It just wasn't. It wasn't anything specific. Just we get our information
from
the internet.
Ryan Lanning conversation.
It was that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. What internet stuff?
I don't know, man. I don't.
Because if the message boards, I see how Ohio State fan reacts on message boards. That's true.
I just enjoyed the shot at my receding hairline. That was unnecessary, Buckeye fan. Now you've made it personal.
Yeah, what if that guy has a receding hairline?
I want to see your hair. You're a random person on a YouTube comment, man. Show me your picture.
We've mentioned the stat. Stat's been mentioned. First top five matchup in aughts in history.
Not so fast, my friend.
Now, this is according to the Oregon notes. So this is Oregon University sends to the media all kinds of game notes and information. This is according to Oregon themselves.
Yes.
You pulling the Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend. Would you like to clarify that this is not the first top five matchup in odds in history?
So we have a discrepancy here between polls of what is the poll that counts the most. And I would ask you this question. In the year 2007, which poll was more important, the BCS poll or the AP poll?
The BCS was the equivalent of the playoff poll.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So this is an AP stat. There has never been a top five AP matchup at Autzen Stadium. The game that I'm going to tell you was 4-6 in the AP, but it was 4-5 in the BCS.
Okay.
And that game I was at. It was my freshman year. I will never forget the day because College Game Day was in town. The game was a 5:30 kick, and I went to game day from a party, basically. Stayed at Autzen Stadium after game day was over at 9 and tailgated until 5 o'clock and then went into the stadium.
That's a long day. How were your legs then?
I mean, I used to be able to get away with that. Then you wake up like nothing happened on Sunday, and now I have two IPAs and I feel like I got hit by a truck. It was the Arizona State game with Rudy Carpenter and Dennis Erickson. They were undefeated.
I remember that.
And they came in as the number four team in the country. Now, Oregon was 5 in the BCS and they were 6 in the AP.
So this is a stat that's AP.
I'm AP-centric because it literally, I like pulled up the game thing on ESPN. I pulled up the video. It said 4 versus 5 on the because I'm like, this has happened before. I was at the game.
I feel like Oregon should know this note and say this is according to the AP.
AP, first ever top 5 AP matchup. And that was, they won the game. Devastating end because Dixon got hurt. And then everybody thought, okay, maybe he's all right. And then the next week was when his leg snapped in half in Tucson.
Okay.
So that was 2007. They had a top 5 game and they won 35-23.
Okay. So another top 5 match. Up in Autzen, the first one in AP history. Dan Lanning holding his Monday night press conference, as he does every week, talking about Ohio State and creating explosive plays.
They limit explosive plays, right? They do a great job of keeping the ball in front of them. They play really physical in the front. You know, they're able to stop the run. They're really sound and aggressive at times in coverage, but you know, they pitch a lot of different looks at you as well. But it starts, they eliminate explosive plays. They play really sound football. They have good overlap in their defense. They're able to change the picture up. They have, you know, really good D linemen, good edges, and then they're able to cover, you know, outside. So they create a lot of challenges there.
Ohio State right now is 6th in just passing offense. Now, I know explosive plays can happen on the ground as well, 20 or more yards, if I can talk, qualifying there. Which part of Ohio State right now going in maybe worries you the most with Oregon's defense?
With Oregon's defense?
Yeah, when you think about what Oregon's defense has been, I think the tough thing with this question is the teams that they have faced so far and trying to wrap your brain around what is real versus what is a game against Michigan State or for them. Well, similar for them, Michigan State.
I mean, neither team's played anybody. That's the funny part. But yes, I see the point. I don't mean this as a shot whatsoever. There is a slight difference between Trent Walker and Jeremiah Smith. Like, there's just, that's what concerns me the most. I think Oregon, and this, you know, save this for Monday, I feel like Dan Lanning has been building for 3 years to have a defensive front that can hang in a game like this. And I feel like they are stout up front to the point where Ohio State's got to run, they can run the ball on anybody. But can you limit them? Can you not have the explosive plays happen against you? Can you find a way to just bottle them up and say, can Will Howard beat us? Can we force them into 2nd and 8, 3rd and 7? Like, how do we handle those type of scenarios? What scares me the most is cornerback number 2, and how Ohio State is going to attack that. I think Jabbar Muhammad's one of the best corners in the country, and that his pedigree speaks to that. Whoever is the opposite side of Jabbar Muhammad is going to get attacked endlessly because Ohio State has 2 true number 1 wide receivers in this game.
Mm. I hate to interrupt this segment.
Yeah, what do we got?
Breaking news.
What just happened?
Adam Schefter is reporting the Jets just fired Robert Saleh.
How about that? Not surprised at all.
Tuesday?
Yeah, you had to get back from London. Long flight. Let him settle.
I think they have a bye week.
They got a bye week this week? Yeah. Okay. I'm not surprised by that whatsoever.
Well, I'm not either.
Aaron Rodgers calls the shots there.
Yes, he does.
Remember last week, Hackett
been named the interim head coach?
Nate Hackett?
Yeah.
Remember last week when this was not a thing for Rodgers? Remember that? Remember literally we just did an interview like on Tuesday. What day is he on McAfee? Tuesday, I think. Wednesday?
It's today.
Today.
Isn't it Tuesdays?
I think so. And it was, this is not a big deal. I
can't
get along
wait for him to say this isn't his decision.
No, I had nothing to do with this. I have no say in this whatsoever. I just get to handpick offensive coordinators and wide receivers, and I'm going to make you trade for Devontae Adams. I get to control everything in the organization, just not who the head coach is.
Yeah, that's not surprising, but Tuesday morning it happening is a little the surprising part, I guess, for me. I would have thought it would have been yesterday if he was going to get fired.
The irony of all of this, and a listener texted this in earlier, and it's a hilarious point, and then the same thing is going to happen this Thursday night as well. The Jets and Bills play this weekend. Do you realize if the Jets win that game, they're in first place in the AFC East?
Oh, that division's terrible.
They're in first place when they win this weekend.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
Or whenever they play the Bills.
Technically aren't out of it. And if they get Tua back, maybe their offense gets figured out.
For the love of God, don't come back, Tua. Don't do it, man.
He's wearing shades on the sidelines. I'm like, oh, your eyes still hurt.
The only follow-up I have to that is, can the Niners now go hire Robert Saleh as their defensive coordinator? Is that possible?
I noodled on this during the London game. I said, if he gets fired after this game, Do the Niners give him a call? It's like, hey, come be a please, special assistant.
Please help us, man.
Because that defense is
bad.
Awful.
It is a problem right now.
So sorry to interrupt your duck
it's okay.
opinion. I did agree with what you were saying before Adam Schefter had the breaking news. I just wanted to pass that along. The Jets have fired Robert Saleh. Something that felt like we saw coming after week one.
Yes.
Now, if it's Nate Hackett, I'm gonna laugh. I hope it's Nate Hackett.
This is not a serious organization.
It's not.
They should never be taken seriously until they get a new owner. There's nothing about the Jets that are serious.
Back to the Oregon conversation
here.
I want to play one more cut from Lanning before we get to...
And they do not have a bye, by the way. They play the Bills on Monday night. They have their Monday night game against the Bills.
So maybe you're a week ahead or something.
Because, yeah, that listener said if they beat the Bills this weekend, because the Bills are 3-2, the Jets are 2-3, they'd both be 3-3. The Jets would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. They would be in first place.
Rally game? Like one of those weird games where they play better without the coach the first week and then it shows itself, or just they're the Jets?
God, I hope that they're the Jets. The line quickly on that game for a rally point. Hold on.
Because according to Orlovsky, it's the offense. It's not Rodgers.
No. Yeah, 2.5. Bills are favored by 2.5 in that game.
We'll see what happens with Shakir. If he's back for the Bills, their offense might get back to humming.
Yes.
You're not wrong on the Jabbar Muhammad, the Kobe Savage in the secondary. Jordan Birch is making quite the headlines with his play lately.
He's been a beast, man.
He's popping up more and more, and he was already kind of on the radar, so it's not surprising, but he's popping up more and more on the NFL draft pundit conversations of who he is as a defensive lineman.
I would say rightfully so, man. He's 6'4". Just massive. He can move. He doesn't look like your traditional defensive lineman. He's tied for the sack lead in the Big Ten. I think he's got 5, and that's playing some teams that don't even really throw the football that much, and so he's only going to keep getting better as the year has gone on. He's been so fun to watch because they challenged him a ton in the offseason to take the next step, and he clearly has this year.
One more from Lanning from yesterday's press conference. His thoughts and keys to the Ohio State game.
I'd say winning football is winning football, but I think you always look when you're playing an opponent, you know, what's some commonalities in games that they haven't had success in and that you've had success in, right? Where are those places where you can find strengths? What are the pieces of the game that are going to matter the most? You know, obviously explosive plays and takeaways is always something that we focus on here, but, you know, rushing game, I think that matters. You know, ability to win on critical downs in critical situations, red area, I think are all really important.
I said this yesterday, I'll say it again. I am going to be curious to see Ohio State because it's felt like, to me, a team that's looked at the schedule and knew this was coming and has basically gotten by with just being Ohio State versus who they've played.
Yeah.
And I'll be curious to see what chip changes or is different or just feels and looks different than what I've seen, because I've been keeping tabs on them throughout the weeks going into this game. And I haven't watched 100% of their games, but when I'm watching them, they look like a team sleepwalking halfway through a game and then going, we're Ohio State, we're going to beat you by 20 now.
Let's flip that switch on, and now we're up 35-7.
Yeah, the internet hasn't told me that. I've been watching that with my eyes, and so I'll be curious to see in this matchup what Chip does, because the last time he went against Lanning, it didn't go his way as the coach of UCLA.
No, it was a top 10 win for Lanning.
But now he has an OC, he's got all these weapons to play with, and how that goes with what Oregon's defense is.
It's funny that a lot of the conversation will be on that. My biggest fear, and to me the biggest matchup, is the other side of the ball. Like, I'm strangely confident in Oregon's defense this week. Maybe I shouldn't be.
Really?
I am. The biggest, like, if you tell me this game goes wrong and goes sideways for Oregon, it's their interior offensive line
against
struggling to create a push against Ohio State's front. They struggle to run the ball. That puts Gabriel into bad situations. That's where, to me, things go sideways. But again, save that for Monday. Who the hell knows what'll happen?
Yeah, the running game for Oregon's also interesting. Can they win this without having an established good run game?
I don't know.
Because that's where Gabriel would have to step in.
He would
say,
have to be the guy.
We're going to have to carry this a little bit more than the ground.
That will be the defensive emphasis of both teams for obvious reasons of, can we make the quarterback, can we make their offense one-dimensional?
Can you make third and longs?
Third and longs, and let our pass rush tee off on these guys because they both have phenomenal pass rushers.
We'll have more on this throughout the week as well, but Lanning with his press conference yesterday. I want to pause Oregon talk and stick in college football. We talked Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Alabama, let it be known, the honeymoon is over. We'll get to that next on The Fan. The Beauty of Live Radio, you announced Robert Saleh's been fired, and 10 minutes after you announced that, somebody texts saying, guys, Rob Saleh got fired.
Hey, you see Robert Saleh got fired? What? No. I love coming off a game in which their defense was outstanding.
They would have won the game if Rodgers didn't throw that pick six to Van Ginkle.
Minnesota couldn't run the ball. They made Darnold look average at best in the second half. Their defense was phenomenal in London. And Aaron Rodgers throws three interceptions, and let's fire our defensive-minded head coach.
My poor gambling producer says, Mike Vrabel ASAP. I said, why would Vrabel do that now? You wait for the year to end and evaluate the best situation.
Yeah, see, people are joking about Belichick and his days with the Jets. Like, it ain't happening. Jeff Ulbrich's your guy the rest of the year. Have fun with that.
All right, we have a lot more to get into. We may have more on this Rob Saleh firing, more college football, more NFL. Bob Costas being accused of being a Yankee fan on the broadcast last night. I have audio proof that he might be.
We also got Dave Roberts all butthurt about Manny Machado throwing a ball towards a dugout. Have you seen this feud that's brewing from game two?
This one's becoming spicy. Yeah.
This is going to be good today.
It's going to be great tonight.
By the way, did you know Bob Costas was 72?
No, but I probably could have guessed that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I knew.
His hair is just like, how much work goes into that?
Oh, yeah.
It's brown stuff.
How many plugs and dyes? And I mean, how much is that guy going through?
See, what I appreciate about Swag is Swag knows he's got a good head of hair.
Yeah.
But Swag also doesn't shy away from the age. Go look at him right now on the YouTube. There's gray pubes all over that face, and I love that he just leans into it.
Put it away, Swag.
Come on, man. I mean,
what are you doing?
You are what you are.
I'm leading with the chin today.
Yeah, exactly. It is a Mail Sack Tuesday, so don't forget to get Mail Sack questions in to the Vancouver Ford text line at 503-864-6326. We will talk the Mail Sack at 8:15.
We got one last night. We're starting to get overnight questions and spreading the line sponsors. We had one texted in 7 hours ago, an early Mail Sack edition.
DeBoer lost to Vandy this weekend.
That he did.
Did not go well. I knew the minute this game ended what I was going to do on Monday afternoon.
Watching Paul Feinbaum.
Paul Feinbaum has legendary Southern callers. We have created now a drops page from callers.
Yes.
And I monitor this very closely. And so I saw this live. I knew they'd post it on Twitter. This caller is named Legend.
Legend.
Okay. A lot of these guys don't give their real names. They have nicknames. Legend is a diehard Bama fan. I kept thinking of one of our P1s, Jake the Hater, who's also a Bama fan, who told us he hated DeBoer after last week's win.
That was after the Georgia win.
And that was after the Georgia win. Yeah. Now they've lost to Vandy, so everybody is up in arms in Alabama. And Legend called in, and we've got some cuts. Here is Legend on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
I'll ride and die with the Crimson Tide. I don't care to go back and get Mike Shula to coach. I'm going to be with Alabama every frigging game. But that don't mean I can't be pissed at what I seen Saturday on the field. Alabama don't lose to Vandy. We don't lose to Vandy. That is friggin' pathetic, Coach DeBoer. 40 years, dude. 40 years. Phil Curry didn't lose to Vandy. Mike DeBose didn't lose to Vandy. Mike Shula didn't lose to Vandy. 40 years. You've been here 4 weeks, and you already lost to Vandy. Strike friggin' one, dude. Strike friggin' one. The honeymoon's not only over, but we need some serious marriage counseling between me and you, dude.
He continued on
this. God, that is so good.
This is, by the way, if you want to know how I felt when the Beavs lost to Sac State.
This is the
you
feeling.
You don't lose to Sac State, what is dude.
I wish we could. This was like a 7-minute rant, and I was contemplating, like, do we just pull the entire thing and play it? Because it was all gold.
I cut up a lot of it, and I went through this pretty thoroughly. He repeats a couple, like, rants. Yeah. So I cut it out. This one's a little lengthier, but we need to continue. Legend on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
I burned it. I apologize to Nick Saban for putting a nail next to him and putting it next to him. 40 years, dude. You've been here 4 weeks, and you already lost to Vandy. And let me tell you something. I'm really unimpressed with your press conference. I mean, you act like it's one game. No, it ain't one game, dude. It ain't one game. You ain't at Washington no more. You ain't at Prairie View, wherever the hell you was. You ain't there no more, brother. You at Alabama. You're at Alabama, and we don't damn lose to Vanderbilt. That's pathetic. I've had people tell me today, well, Coach Saban lost his first year, Legend. I said, man, don't even come at me with that bull crap, because that's a bunch of baloney. John Parker Wilson was the quarterback for Nick Saban's first year. No offense, John Parker Wilson, but we know you ain't, you wasn't no NFL prospect, brother. We know, we all know that. It, I mean, come on, you can't even compare them. You got the Heisman Trophy front runner, Lynn Swann, out there at wide receiver, and you get beat by Vandy. It's pathetic, dude. It's pathetic. You better wake the hell up and realize where you at, because we don't play that down here, brother. You might get away with that in Washington, but down here in Alabama, we don't play that. We'll send a U-Haul to your ass if you lose to South Carolina. You better stop worrying about last week's game and get your ass focused on the game coming up at Alabama.
Is your dream job Alabama? Are you ready to take on the heat of
one loss?
That?
He beat, right. Hey, let's quick reminder, quick PSA. He beat Georgia a week ago.
Doesn't matter anymore.
He beat Georgia a week ago.
He ruined all that cachet.
And none of it matters. None of it matters.
Final one, he compared what the situation at Alabama is. Him, legend, now his thoughts and feelings on DeBoer and losing to Vanderbilt. He compared it to something.
This is equivalent to coming home and finding your wife in bed with the neighbor. This is what this is equivalent to, Paul. And I'll say this for this. Me and K-Dub both agree. You could never trust her again. You might stay with her for the kid's sake, but you could never trust the woman again. And the same thing's true with Coach DeBoer. You can win a natty. Can't trust your ass down. You just proved that you can beat the best and lose to the worst in a two-week friggin' period. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. That's the ugliest little sister on the block. You ain't at Washington no more.
That is so good.
Don't piss you off, dude.
Dude, his dudes are the best. The dude, 40 years,
dude.
Dude
or brother?
Yeah, brother. What are we doing here, man? The ugliest little sister on the block.
Can't take the heat? Get out of the kitchen. I love the kitchen. So let's get that right.
It's going to be me on Monday when Oregon loses to Ohio State. I got to come in and do another show. Damn it! Here we go. I'm going to start yelling at people.
Vandy is my daddy.
Vandy is my daddy, man. It just, God, what a wild game, and the reaction to it was priceless. I hate that Feinbaum gets the credit for this, too.
What do you mean?
That guy's never said an interesting thing in his life. His show is incredibly boring.
It is propped up by...
The show is not boring. He's incredibly boring. He is propped up by this. This is why it's interesting. The other people deserve whatever paycheck ESPN is paying Paul Feinbaum. Get 5% of his check yesterday should have gone to this guy, because this guy made his show interesting.
I will say this. Did you see real quick? Did you see his take?
No, Feinbaum's no.
So before the year started, he called out, or no, after the Nebraska game, he called out Deion. Or no, this was before the season. Sorry, there we go.
He was going at Deion a ton before the year because he was on First Take, and they said, say something interesting, Paul.
After they beat UCF, he publicly apologized and said, I was wrong on Deion, okay? That being said, I used to agree with you. I watch this show more often than I ever have. What he has created, I don't disagree with the tone. It just is like, welcome into the
radio
program.
Hello, I'm Paul Feinbaum. Okay, legend, you go now.
But what he has created is a community of whack job, diehard football fans.
I mean, he got a guy thrown in prison who called in and admitted to poisoning trees.
He also has people create GoFundMes, and they raise money for people who are very poor and very sick or dealing with things. So you can think some of
Did
the things
you hear his
think.
Line, though, at the end of the call?
Who, Feinbaum or the callers?
No, Feinbaum, after the caller was done.
I didn't hear, I don't remember his line.
Feinbaum,
what did he say?
It's like, well, I feel like I need a cigarette after that.
I mean, they're just, they're
this was show yesterday. It was just these,
so I could wish my boot right up your ass.
These loons just calling in and losing their minds, man. It's unbelievable content, but I want to give the proper credit to the proper people. These are the people that
deserve
Whoever
the producer is these screaming wackos. Calls with his hand on the dump button doesn't get paid enough money.
Double that guy's salary. His legend's ranting about his wife, his neighbor sleeping with his wife.
You don't lose the Vanderbilt. We'll send a U-Haul to your ass. Can't take the heat? Get out of the kitchen. I love the kitchen.
Love
so let's get that right.
This is the whole, you know, some people have that, you know, uber aggressive ego. I can do anything and coach anywhere and win anywhere. This is the whole argument about, you sure you want that job?
You sure you want to replace that guy?
You sure you want that job? Because it took 1 week And he is already, they want him gone. They were criticizing him for not tucking his shirt in. He looks like a slob. Malachi Moore.
Really?
That's a thing. Oh, this is all over the internet. Malachi Moore, did you see what he was doing at the end of the game?
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, shoving the Pavia kid's head in the turf. He's throwing his mouthpiece. They're pissed that he's not getting suspended, and they want him to pay some sort of punishment for throwing a tantrum, although legend on that call did defend Malachi Moore yesterday. They have lost. You lose one more game this year. They can still go to the playoff. It doesn't matter. Like, they're going to try and burn down that guy's house if he loses one of his next two games.
Well, I mean, that defense doesn't change at all.
No.
They might be able to lose against South Carolina, because if you can lose to Vandy, I've opened up the idea you could lose to any other team on your schedule with that defense.
Did you see the comparison? So Joe Klatt went on a show in Birmingham yesterday, and it's a show that I just keep an eye on from time to time. It's like Next Round Live, I think, or something. They just talk SEC football, basically. Sure. And he was on yesterday, and you know who he compared Alabama this year to that Ooh. Made them all lose their minds? He said, you're no different than a 2007 Lincoln Riley Oklahoma team. You're going to have to score 45. You're a Big 12 team this year. Congratulations.
Wow.
You're going to have to score 45 in every game to win, and sometimes that might not even be enough. And the hosts look like they wanted to murder him.
The honeymoon's over.
Yes, it is. It is over for him in Alabama. I can't believe they lost that game.
I mean, you can't lose that game.
And look, all
you can't lose that game.
Final thought on it, 40? You gave up 40 to Vandy? Oh my God, I haven't gotten over the defense. DeBoer had his own problems offensively in the first half of that game.
They did.
That defense could not get off the field.
No.
Unbelievable.
They don't have an identity, man.
And Diego Pavia.
It's a wild trend of him constantly playing down to teams last year. He's an unbelievable, like, nobody doubts his brilliance as a coach, but the way that they played down to so many teams last year was always a bit of a red flag.
You can't help but wonder internally, it's not that he's not preparing, it's not that his message has changed.
Of course he is, right.
There's got to be something where, like, the preparation...
How does that happen?
...or the level in which he is focused on an opponent matches what his team is doing. And so when they play Oregon and they play Georgia, oh my God, they're unstoppable.
Yes, they look unbelievable.
You play Vandy, you play Arizona State, right. You play Stanford. Well, we barely won or we lost.
Washington State was not a good team last year, and they needed to convert a fourth down in their own territory to win the game. If Oregon State doesn't snap the ball over their punter's head, they lose in Corvallis. Like, he had this so many times, and you keep playing with fire, eventually you're going to get burned, and he learned that the hard way this weekend.
We have a lot more to get into in the radio program. Our congrats to legend, a legendary phone call in sports radio history. We've created an entire page for guys like that. A lot more to get into. We'll get to the mail sack at 8:15. So you can send your mail sack questions in to the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. You can also put them on the YouTube chat. We'll catch those as well. It is 7:33. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
All right, shorter segment here. We went a little long on legend. Sometimes that'll happen to you. You know, you get caught up talking SEC football. Gets you all fired up.
Put some pressure on somebody.
The more details are coming out about Robert Saleh getting fired. And this was from Diana Rossini, who said Woody Johnson's decision to fire Robert Saleh might seem surprising, but he views this team as a ready to compete now and wanted to make a move to get things on the right track before it was too late. And then you read a report that he just showed up today like he was good at game plan and getting ready for Monday Night Football. We're back in town from London, and ownership just walked down and we're like, hey, you're going to need to pack your stuff up and get the hell out
of
here.
Yeah, defensive players were shocked, according to the report from Jordan Schultz, not 1080's Jordan Schultz,
no.
The other Howard Schultz's son.
The Starbucks Jordan
the
Schultz.
The Starbucks Jordan Schultz is saying that players were shocked by it. He showed up for work as usual, was game prepping, and they just walked down and... All right, see you later.
I mean, if you're going to fire me off of a trip to London, can you at least fire me before I fly back? Like, can I just take a vacation in London at that point? Like, if you're going to fire me.
Just become the new Ted Lasso.
Just, you know,
soccer.
Give me a Lane Kiffin here. Give me the tarmac firing. I'll say, okay, I'm going to hang out overseas and have some tea and crumpets. You're still going to pay me. And I'm going to enjoy a nice year. I'm going to fly my family out. We'll enjoy a nice European vacation. And I'll check back in with everybody in a month.
They're an interesting team, not in the, I think they're good this year. I think their season's cooked. They have all the signs of, you know, red flags going on there.
Yeah.
I don't like their owner, like, at all, not even a little bit. But they are interesting. If Rodgers hangs them up and this becomes a total restart, you can say that the ownership's bad, and that certainly, like, kind of runs down through things. Also, you're seeing in D.C., you make the right coaching hire and you draft the right quarterback.
Look what can happen.
You can maybe turn things around. They still have got, like, Quinnen Williams ain't going anywhere. Sauce Gardner's going nowhere.
Nope.
So, you know, they've got pieces where it might be interesting to somebody next season. I don't know what this year will be. I tend to believe even if they make it as a wild card or some, you know, garbage division winner because that division's not very good, I'm not buying them as a contender.
No, I mean, what's the winner of that division going to be? A 9-win team, it looks like right now? Maybe 10 at most, depending. Maybe
we'll
Buffalo
is,
hits the next gear and they win on Monday night. It is funny. I was, you know, there was clips going around on this yesterday because Rodgers was awful, and he has been awful. There was a stat floating around where he now has as many 3-interception games as like Zach Wilson did in his 11 starts with the Jets, which is an alarming number because he was supposed to be the guy that settled everything down. And Shannon Sharp is not somebody that I always agree with, but he was yelling yesterday about the idea that for years we blamed when the Jets would lose, we would blame it on the quarterback. We'd blame it on Zach Wilson, or we blame it on whoever was playing. And now that it's Aaron Rodgers, we're finding other things. Now it's Saleh's fault. Now it's somebody else. Like, Aaron Rodgers has been ass for the last 2 weeks. Yeah. That's Shannon. We're trying to have a debate here.
Stop.
Damn it, Shannon. We're trying to...
Shannon, you're live.
He always does this. Right in the middle of a segment.
Can he just stop already?
I mean, you're making a great point, Shannon. I'm trying to defend your point, and you're not.
Shannon's going to Shannon.
It's a lucky lady. And now it's not the quarterback's fault. It's everybody else's fault now that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback.
Which it is interesting how
a
that
hilarious turn, because everybody for the last 2 years would say, why did the Jets suck? Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Now their quarterback still sucks, and it's you know, the offensive line and Hackett and Saleh. We got to fire Saleh. Like, dude, maybe Aaron Rodgers is just washed and he's too old and he's spending his time in the offseason focused on other things. Like, every time they have a miscommunication when he's throwing a route and Garrett Wilson breaks off or does another thing and they have a conversation on the sideline, I do go a little like get off my lawn old manny of like, you know, if you wouldn't have gone to Egypt for a week in the training camp and you were there running routes with your guys, maybe that's on the same page. I don't know.
Maybe if you studied more film instead of getting stuck in the internet wormholes on conspiracy theory, you'd have a better
maybe
feel.
Maybe it'd help you out a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe if you would age with the current game and not be so steadfast in throwing quick slants in every audible you do, Van Ginkle wouldn't pick six you.
He saw that coming a million miles
away. Yes, because the guy won't change.
No.
And that, you know, that's the interesting thing about him is like, when he's great, you give him his flowers. But he should be no different than any quarterback. If Orlovsky's take is truly like, I'm a backup, I can't call out Hall of Famers, then that logic should also say, you can't call out starting quarterbacks either. I don't get into the hot take stuff. I don't watch those shows much. I thought that was hilarious. That was his defense.
I can't call him out.
Yeah. Because I was a backup. You shouldn't criticize starters then. Like, your job right. is to assess what's going on. And I'm sorry, he threw three picks. I watched the entire game.
He was the reason they lost the game.
The Van Ginkle one was bad. The second one's not getting talked about nearly enough. He overthrew Lazard by 6 yards.
Yep.
And the third one, he underthrew and never communicated with the receiver. He just chucked it up as quick as he could. Gilmore picked it off. Those were all three on him. So, he's not having a good year. Of the two that tore their Achilles, Kirkers is the better player.
He looks like it right now, yeah.
And so it was hard for me to buy in this year. It was mainly the noise off the field. Like, he might be a VP candidate? Come on.
And he said he seriously considered it,
too. You're not a serious NFL quarterback if half your time or more than half your time is you're talking and considering, you know, internet wormhole stuff or politics. I just can't take you seriously.
So the Jets fired Robert Saleh. That's the big news in the NFL this weekend. And Jeff Ulbrich is going to be your interim head coach there in New York. One quick note, and then I want to get to a couple of leftovers from the NFL weekend to pass along. Luis Tiant passed away today. Now, that's a name that probably rings true to you.
I watched Luis Tiant pitch for the Portland Beavers.
He pitched for the Beavers twice, right? Didn't he come back at the end of his career and early in his career?
That was so
So Luis Tiant
fun.
Is a famous Red Sox pitcher from back in the day, and he had one of
the
most...
Giants, didn't he? No, the A's.
Yeah, probably A's. It's obviously way before my time. He had one of the most memorable windups of all time, but he was always in love. He loved a great relationship with Portland, because when he was in AAA, he came to Portland from, I think, Charleston, and he said when he was in Charleston, the racism was just like early 60s. Racism just rampant. All like he couldn't go anywhere. And then he arrived in Portland and he was like, this is a Mecca. This is a great place to be. And he fell in love with the city. He went 15-1, threw a no-hitter, and then went on to have a great MLB career and then came back to pitch in Portland.
That's sad. Yeah, he would spin his body all the way back so he was like facing center field in his windup.
Yeah, think like Johnny Cueto, but
and
maybe
when
more
he
extreme.
Did, the whole crowd would go as he spun. We would go Louis, and then he'd spin and fire to home plate. It was awesome.
How old was he?
He was 82. He just passed away,
right. Well,
he came back at the end of his career. Yeah, I remember telling me stories about going to watch him pitch at Civic Stadium when he came back in his like 40s, still pitching and just like hanging on. One of those like Bartolo Colon, you know, was like still pitching in Mexican leagues. Luis Tiant did that, and
Louis.
So. R.I.P. to Luis Tiant, who is connected to Portland and one of the great Red Sox of all time, passed away at the age of 83.
Retire his number, Portland Diamond Project.
Let's do it. Once we get our team, we're retiring Luis Tiant's number. I like it. Let's get to a couple of more NFL leftovers. I'll get to the baseball playoffs coming up top of the hour. Bad blood. Is it back today? Is Bob Costas a homer? And every series is tied. How about that? We'll get to that coming up top of the hour. But first, some NFL leftovers next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll get to some baseball stuff coming up top of the hour. Did you or did you not watch the baseball yesterday? I have an Aaron Judge stat for you and a stat from the divisional round that is very cool. So all of that is coming up here in about 10 minutes. Don't forget the mail sack at 8:15. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. People texting in about...
Baseball
stuff! Watching Luis Tiant pitch at Civic Stadium, so some fun memory lane stuff for people with the news that came out today.
I was not familiar with him, so I was glad Luis Tiant. You shared what he was to the Portland baseball scene and swag sharing the Luis.
Yeah, go his windup. You will pull up old YouTube videos of Luis Tiant. He's a ton of fun to watch, spinning around. He just had a ton of energy and charisma, and he was such a fascinating guy.
He was just
guy.
One of those guys that was just so happy to
always with a smile on his face
to enjoy the life that he had.
It was very cool. So RIP to Luis Tiant. We might have a quarterback change in the NFL heading into an opponent where I would ask, why would you do it this week and not last week? Did you see what Jerod Mayo said after their loss this weekend? He came out and was very noncommittal to their quarterback situation and basically said the only way they won their game, it was unsustainable, and they are strongly considering a switch to Drake May. They play the Texans this weekend.
Well, I mean, it's not a great opponent. I would argue... Is there any opponent this is good for? Like, the Dolphins, I don't think Drake May was going to beat the Dolphins. You could maybe make an argument. Drake may have been worse, and Brissett was awful in that game. You have to see him. I made this argument week one, and the pushback in Boston is, well, the offensive line's going to get that kid killed. It's not going to be good. Like, is it going to be better in week eight?
No.
Week nine?
Is it going to be better next year? Are they going to have it better next year?
That team is a disaster. They are... very undisciplined. They lost that game, obviously, by a toe. They also lost that game with penalties. They had so many stupid false starts.
Yes, they did.
And pre-snap penalties that kept backing them up and putting them into first and long, second and long, third and longs. There was no way they were going to win that game. So they're a very undisciplined football team. They lack significant talent. The best thing for them is the receivers. But Brissett was terrible. So, yeah, the Texans are not a good opponent defensively. I get it. They're probably going to blitz the hell out of him. You were going to play him at some point, and I never really understood the argument of sitting him for the first couple weeks.
Well, the whole argument that people try to make is that their offensive line is so bad, you're going to get him killed, and he's going to lose confidence and all that.
Sit him for a season, then. You want to sit him? Sit him for a year and say, look, we're not going to let this kid take big hits and lose confidence. We're going to put Brissett and a bunch of scrubs out there. We know what we are. And try to secure your offensive line improvement.
Get a top three pick and go draft an offensive lineman.
I think I'm largely in the camp. End of the year, last game of the season stuff. Like Mahomes did that the year Alex Smith was the starter. Okay, you want to get him a start. The game doesn't matter at all. Fine. I think I'm in the opinion, start the guy week one or sit him for the year. If your situation's really bad, sit him for a year. Let him see what's going on. Don't put him in really bad, uncomfortable spots. Try to shore up as much as you possibly can your weaknesses to help him be protected next year instead of, we're going to throw him to the wolves of D'Amico Ryans. That didn't look good for Caleb Williams.
No.
And I can't imagine it'll look good for May, but I've also seen enough percent to say, well, maybe May will at least sling the ball and be willing to take chances.
Yeah, the tough part with all that, though, because I understand the argument of, like, you don't want a guy to just get obliterated back there. And watching Caleb, you know, have that happen to him earlier this year was not fun, and he looked disheveled after that game. My only question is, what if your offensive line sucks next year? Because it's like, you suck. The Patriots suck. It's one of the worst teams in the NFL. Yeah. That's not going to change. You think all of a sudden you're going to show up next year, you're going to have one of the top five offensive lines in the league?
They may not win a game the rest of the year.
No, I think this is going to be another survivor pool where I lose in week one to a team that goes one and has one win all season. I don't see New England. If you can't beat the Dolphins with what's going on with the Dolphins at home, you're not winning another game this year, man.
Well, football will always football.
It will always football. But that's the funniest thing to me about that argument, because I do see it. I understand it. But they're going to suck. We think all of a sudden next year they're going to be great. And he's going to have all these weapons to throw it to, and their offensive line will be elite. Now we play him, they're going to be terrible again next year. So guess what's going to happen to him next year? Well, he's going to get beat up. They're going to have a bad offensive line.
They should be focusing only on offensive line.
They should, because their offensive line is terrible.
Draft the best tackle, or figure out what you're doing in the draft to trade out because teams are quarterback desperate. Go get a couple picks. Draft linemen, sign a veteran. Yeah. Like, do whatever you can to make that line far better than what it's been so far.
Right. So that's the news out of the NFL today. On top of Saleh getting fired, is that the Patriots might be making a change at quarterback, and they take on the Houston Texans this weekend.
You know, did you see the Raider report, too?
Adams? No, I didn't see the latest on him.
Well, he's supposed to be on Kay Adams' show today, but he canceled his appearance with her. He tweeted out, or he Instagrammed a photo of Edgar Allan Poe, so many people thought, oh my God, the Ravens. Because that was the first takeaway, was the Ravens.
Yes.
Because, quote, the Raven, nevermore. Jay Glazer is reporting that the Ravens are not a real option for him.
Not trying here, huh?
And Pierce didn't know he was going to demand a trade. He texted him, hey, I need to talk. And Pierce thought it was to go over, like, the injury stuff and maybe game film. And he said, I'm done. I'm out.
Watching their quarterback play this weekend after they benched Gardner Minshew for throwing a terrible pick, and now they're trying to decide between him and Aiden O'Connell, I don't blame him for wanting out.
Well, and I know, I don't know if you saw this, but the Aces played the Liberty on Friday or Saturday. Colorado had a bye this week, and A.J. Wilson, the MVP, was seen talking and taking a photo with Shador. You know who was also talking and sitting next to Shador? Mark Davis.
Ah, that's definitely going to happen.
I mean, it just doesn't.
There's never been a
smell
matchup better made than the Sanders family and the Raiders.
Yes.
It just.
Vegas,
synergy.
Sanders, they need a quarterback.
They're desperate for one.
I will be stunned. I'll say this now. I don't care if I'm wrong. I'll be stunned if the Raiders don't trade up or they don't draft Shador Sanders.
All right, get your mail sack questions in, 503-864-6326. We'll get to them coming up at 8:15. Are you in on the baseball stuff? We got beef brewing ahead of game three, a concerning stat for one star player, and an exciting stat for the spot we're in right now. It is a loaded final hour. We'll start there. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.